Hey y'all, welcome to the neighborhood. Y'all know what we do here. We get all up in your business, talking about self, family, friends, and finances. As always, this is not a conversation about relationships because we are minding our own business. That's right, but trust and believe. Once we get that straight, the rest will follow. You know me. I'm your nosy neighbor, Inertia Justice. So go get your coffee, your green tea, or whatever it is you're sipping on these days, and let's chat. Baby, I'm sipping on some chamomile tea. I have a whole bunch of projects that I need to catch up on, but for now, I just want to chill out with you, my neighbors. Last time we spoke, we talked about postpartum depression, and today we'll continue that chat. If you didn't catch it, go ahead and scroll back up and listen into that and come check back in with us. I have to give you the disclaimer again because I am not a mental health care professional. I am just a nosy neighbor that has experienced a few things and I just want to share them with you, my neighbors. We're better together. Now, just to review, we had a great working definition on postpartum, which simply means after birth. And depression is a feeling of severe despondency and dejection. You can gather that postpartum depression is a feeling of despondency after birth. I know when we first began, you were like, why does this girl keep giving us these vocabulary words? This ain't school. So I hope you see now that this actually is school. We are learning the right vocabulary. Because if you can put a name on the thing that brings you joy or the thing that brings you pain, then you can manage it correctly. Let's get into it. So I gave this really good graphic on what postpartum depression looks like, or should I say, look at what postpartum looks like in the thumbnail for this. So you might want to refer back to that. If you're looking at the image, the body is a mess. It's trying to repair. It's trying to keep up with the day-to-day requirements of being a mom, a wife, a person. And today we're gonna take a look at some scars that can result if postpartum depression isn't recognized and sufficiently cleared. Most women who have had a baby may have physical scars from becoming a mother. We affectionately call these scars stretch marks. Yep, another definition, stretch marks. Is defined as streaks or stripes on the skin, especially on the abdomen, caused by distension of skin from obesity, or in this case, during pregnancy. So when people say you've earned your stripes, this is probably why they say that. Stretch marks are a beautiful thing. And I say that because it is your tangible proof that you have been a part of the beautiful process of giving life long after your children have left home. Y'all know how we do in the neighborhood. We just try to keep it positive, honey. Now, these marks, according to the definition, happen because there was a distension, which is just a fancy way of saying growth. While you are growing a baby inside of your tummy, you are also growing as a person inside of your mind and your soul. New responsibilities are coming. If you were present during your pregnancy, shout out to the chat we had on being present. You can scroll back up and check that one out if you missed that. You may have noticed that your hands moved a little different, that you sat more cautiously, that you stepped more deliberate, and you possibly were more intentional. Shout out to the chat on intentional. You can also scroll up to see that one if you missed that one. And I'm mentioning these other episodes because I want you to see that we are intentional here in the neighborhood. Everything that we've been talking about thus far has been leading up to us sitting here today talking about this. Now, while your baby was growing in your tummy, it was setting you up to become the mom needed to care for this new life. These adjustments were setting your mind up. Your body was set up by the divine. Let's talk about your soul, your emotional body. Were they set up to go term or to bring about a new baby to be a mom? Let's talk about the stretch marks on your soul. Let's talk about the stretch marks on your emotions. Now I'm hearing some shouting in the choir of postpartum champions right now, honey. Holla back. Odds are, Even if you didn't experience noticeable postpartum depression, there still may be some scars there. Stretch marks, if you will. Cocoa butter and belly elasticity belly oil were a way of fading the stretch marks on your body. But have you found anything to help you with the stretch marks on your soul or on your emotional body? That's right, emotional body. It's basically called an astral body. That's right, another definition. Astral body, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is a subtle counterpart of the physical human body accompanying, but not usually separated from it in life or survives it after death. Deep, huh? Basically, this is just where your mind and your soul combine. So it's important that this space is taken care of as well. When women give birth, it is said that they are laying in the balance of life and death. This is why we have to make sure that this part of us is healed after birth as well. Here are some of the stretch marks that may be on a mother's astral body after birth. Self-esteem irregularities. Loss of confidence, drained emotions, indecisiveness, feelings of worthlessness, guilt, self-doubt, fear, shame, anger, hopelessness. I know what you're thinking. You're saying that all these words sound like different words to express the same sentiment, but I assure you they are not. Each of them hits differently. And because I love you, we're going to explain and give a description on how these different words are important. So important, in fact, that if we don't properly acknowledge them, then they could be passed on to our babies. How so, neighbor? I'm glad you asked. We've talked about minding our own business, how to manage boundaries and being present. As a parent, it is extremely important that we have these principles in check and working on them daily. Because the way you learn to mind your own business is the way you teach your children to mind their own business. Sure, it would be wonderful to believe that we have time to do this because right now it's just a baby. But you'd be sadly mistaken if that's your perspective on it, my loves. It is just as important now as it will be when they get older. When they're older, to gauge their level of understanding, but as a baby and as a toddler, they only know how the world feels. And it would be great to say that they only feel the love in your heart and the joy in your smile, but they feel your anxiety, your sadness, your confusion, and your loss. Postpartum doesn't end. Once you've had a baby, you've had a baby. You're postpartum. But postpartum depression, however, doesn't have to last forever. It doesn't have to scar you or your baby. Here is some of the ways that postpartum depression can scar you and your baby if it's not properly cleared. I'll just go back through that list that we spoke about earlier. So with self-esteem irregularities, it scars your baby because if your baby hears you negative self-talk or feel that negative emotion when you self-talk and they watch you allow others to disrespect you and your boundaries, then they will feel that this is normal. Loss of confidence. Sometimes we lose confidence after a baby because our body doesn't feel the same. We don't feel sexy anymore. So this low confidence impacts our child rearing. It will cause you to allow your children to defy you, to set their own rules without obeying your rules, because you won't have the confidence to give them structure to make good decisions. Drained emotions. You won't be able to show them the love because you're too drained to give it to them. So they'll grow up to crave love because they are deprived of it. Love is one of our basic needs. Indecisiveness. They won't respect authority because you should be the example of authority. But you can't enforce curfews or punishments if you're being indecisive. Then they'll believe that the world is the same way. The world will be indecisive. And so it'll set them up for troubles with authorities as they grow older. Feelings of worthlessness. Wait, I have to go back to that indecisiveness and that whole punishment thing. So if we don't get that straight with children by the time they're maybe 4 or 5 years old, it is going to be a very difficult road, because scientists say that a child has learned everything that it needs to know about love and about discipline at those ages. Anything after that is just a reinforcement. So if you didn't set a good foundation about rules and boundaries by the time they're 3 or 4, it's going to be a struggle. Not impossible, my loves, but a struggle. Okay, so let's move back on to feelings of worthlessness. If you're feeling worthless, you won't be able to teach them their value and how to get what they deserve, because we model what we feel. So if you feel you don't deserve anything, you teach your kid that they don't deserve anything either. Guilt. This one is a pretty big one. When you feel guilty, you'll start to overcompensate by not enforcing your rules, by not holding them accountable for their actions, because you're feeling guilty that you weren't prepared for them. Either you weren't prepared for them mentally, emotionally, financially, or whatever the guilt is tied to. Self-doubt. You won't be able to encourage them, help them believe in themselves. Empty words of encouragement means nothing to a person who grew inside your belly for 9 months, who is cycling your blood in their veins for 7 years, who grew with the sound of your voice and your heartbeat surrounding them. They probably are more in touch with your truth than you are. So you won't be able to fool them with fake encouragement. And you won't be able to muster true encouragement if you doubt yourself. Fear. You'll teach them to be afraid to pursue dreams and goals, because they'll sense your fear every time they try something new. And all children want to make their parents happy. And if they sense fear every time they try something new, they will stunt themselves to keep you comfortable. And that's giving them a responsibility that's not theirs. They're not responsible for your emotions. And this leads to the next one, which was shame. Shame is another big one. So big, in fact, that we need to get a definition. Shame is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. When you're bringing up a baby and you have a feeling of humiliation for having them, is there shame tied to their life? And see, that's when it gets big, my loves. If you're ashamed of yourself for having a baby, that spills out in ways that are astronomical, and it's very hard to correct those things once it go out. It is so important to get shame in check. And then there's anger. And I know that anger may sound like a weird emotion to have after having a baby, but you are allowed to feel however you feel. If you are feeling anger, you definitely have to get some anger management, because that could physically scar your baby. You could be physically abusive to your baby because you're quick like a fuse. And as soon as they do something wrong, you backhand them, or you're in a process of reprimanding them. You want the reprimand to be tied to an action that you're trying to correct and not your feelings of anger. I'm hoping I'm explaining that well. And then hopelessness. Hopelessness is dangerous to your child. A person that is hopeless is in their eyes. That impacts your bonding with your child. For the first few years of life, you are like God to your baby. You have to read their minds. You have to construct a safe and happy place for them to grow and to thrive in. In some situations, postpartum can lead to your child expressing their own mental health issues. Most prevalently, it will present itself as oppositional defiance or behavior disorder, which we can talk about next time. That's it for us today, my loves. Please be sure to like, heart, share, chat with your neighbors about what we do here. The statistic says that 70 to 80% of women have postpartum, but only 25% actually experience severe enough that they speak to a doctor. So there could be ladies around you that have experienced things like this and just didn't know that it was postpartum depression. I also want to say thank you to my new listeners. It was great talking to you today. I hope that you got something out of this chat. Join me next week when we chat about parenting after postpartum depression. Like I said, these chats aren't sexy, but you are, because you are minding your own business. And baby, ain't nothing sexier than that. So thank you for sitting and sipping with your girl. The neighborhood is better because you're in it. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Yo Nosy Neighbor. You know I love you more.